You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruryak. DNA evidence helped point law enforcement to Cesar Sayoc, the man arrested for sending now 15 pipe bomb packages to prominent Democrats. So on the phone with me is Jennifer Lynch, senior attorney for the Electronic Frontier Foundation, because DNA evidence also led to arrests in the high-profile East Area Rapist Golden State Killer cases and the NorCal rapist cases, to name a few, across the country. Ms. Lynch, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on the show.
So we planned this conversation before the arrest and the press conference Friday about the pipe bomb suspect. But what do you know about the way DNA evidence was involved in that case, that arrest?
Well, I don't think I know much more than anybody else about this case and how DNA was used in the case. I can speculate that in the manufacture of the pipe bombs and packing them into packages, that the suspect left DNA on the package. We now have technology that's sophisticated enough to pick up DNA evidence from very small samples. So that could be a sample that that they obtained from the outside of the packaging or from the pipe bomb itself.
So the Electronic Frontier Foundation is involved in what we're calling digital civil rights in many ways. But can we limit this conversation to DNA evidence used by law enforcement? What is EFF's involvement in this?
Well, we're concerned about the expanded collection and use of DNA really throughout society. And that's because as science becomes more sophisticated, we can learn more and more about a person from their DNA sample. It used to be that DNA was collected and it was very, very expensive to sequence and extract information. And so we didn't see it used all that much. But now it's become cheaper and cheaper to sequence DNA and to extract information. And it's very easy for just the average person to collect a DNA sample and get information from their sample.
There are some laws that apply in some ways. Some of this speaks to medical privacy, perhaps, or the question of search and seizure. But would you give me an overview of what applies and make sure you mention California's law specifically?
Sure. Well, we're sort of in sort of a hazy place with what laws apply. We have a federal genetic discrimination law that prevents discrimination in hiring and health insurance based on your genetic information. And then we have the Fourth Amendment and California's equivalent under the state constitution of the Fourth Amendment, which prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures. But at this point, we're still at sort of the beginning stages of looking to see how the Fourth Amendment applies to DNA collection and sequencing. So it's unclear how it would apply in a case like the Golden State Killer case, and it likely wouldn't apply in the case of collecting DNA from a bomb sample or from the outside of a package.
So in specifically cases where a genealogical site is involved, law enforcement doesn't actually have access to a person's data file, correct?
Well, what happened in the Golden State Killer case is that it appears that law enforcement did have access to the data file of anybody who had uploaded their DNA onto the GED match site. So it doesn't appear that there was any policy in place to prevent law enforcement access on that site, and we certainly don't have any specific laws restricting law enforcement access to private genealogical websites or even company-sponsored genealogical websites.
Though I think the DA, Anne Marie Schubert, here in Sacramento County, would disagree with you on that and make the point that what law enforcement had access to is the matches or a list of potential hits, as they're called, not necessarily the actual data file of each person.
Well, My understanding is that law enforcement uploaded a DNA sample under a false name to the website and accessed the DNA that was already on the site, or the extracted information from the DNA on the site, to try and find a potential match. And I don't believe that law enforcement went to a court to get any kind of judicial oversight of that process.
That gets
which is different from what we would see with, for example, a search warrant. So if law enforcement wanted to come search your home or to access your private email conversations or your letters, they would need to go to a judge and show probable cause that they're going to find evidence of criminal activity or a link between you and a crime. And then the judge says that probable cause is sufficient and grants a warrant. And that's not what we saw in the DNA situation that happened with the Golden State Killer.
But it's somewhat of another gray area, isn't it? Because the Fourth Amendment would protect the suspect. The genealogical site is what's called open source. So it actually doesn't need Fourth Amendment protection. Isn't that true?
Well, I think it's a little confusing because I think most people would say that they are entitled to privacy in their DNA sample. The DNA sample is a part of us, and it contains everything that makes us who we are. So it is a bit of a gray area as to what is being searched. You know, when you're accessing somebody's DNA, you can't do much with just a static piece of cellular material. You really do have to sequence it or get access to the information that's inside of it. And I think some would say that that is a part of you and the Fourth Amendment should apply.
You just reminded me of an article you wrote about an old murder case, a story that was published by the New Orleans Advocate. I don't want to so much get into that story as the fact that you make the point that it does depend on the consent form that people agree to when they enter into a genealogical site or an ancestry search, correct?
Well, in the state that we're in right now, where we don't have any specific laws that restrict access to these websites, we're really reliant on a genealogical website's terms of service, essentially, kind of like what a social media site might have. And these genealogical websites do ask you to consent to various things and various uses of your DNA. The one thing I will say is that it's pretty difficult to really comprehend what it means to consent to searches of your DNA. If you think about how many of us, when we install an upgrade to Facebook, we actually read the terms of service, I would say that probably none of us do. Or a very small percentage. And so people are probably not reading those consent forms, certainly not very closely, when they're uploading their DNA to these sites.
California's law, we didn't say much about it, though, is known as CalGENA. And that does speak more to genetic discrimination in employment. I'm not going to spend any more time there because I do have another question for you. And what you were just speaking about in terms of what we consent to, are sites selling genetic profiles in some cases? Is this an area that you're exploring? For example, could a profile be sold for research or to a pharmaceutical company or an entity like that?
I think it really depends on the site. You know, I'm very concerned about law enforcement access to these websites, but we do need to be concerned as well about what's being done with our genetic material after the fact. I think for many of these sites, their business model is really to provide consumer services specifically to the person who uploads the data. But there's nothing really to prevent them from selling your genetic information to a third party, whether it's a bank or an insurance company or even a private investigator, because there's no law that prevents that kind of third party access or sale.
I'm going to go back just as a final thought here to something that, again, the Sacramento County District Attorney Anne-Marie Schubert has said, and that is that this DNA evidence is, quote, the greatest tool for finding the truth. So that said, do we have to find a pathway through the accessibility for law enforcement in crime solving and protecting people's rights? Can we do that?
Well, I think there's two things I would say to that. First, it's very easy to think that DNA is the pathway to the truth, but we have enough cases now where DNA has implicated the wrong person for a crime that we have to be pretty suspicious about that statement. But to your question of law enforcement access to this kind of information, I really do think we need to think as a society, what kind of laws do we want to put in place to protect all of our privacy and our genetic material?
All right, Jennifer, I appreciate the time. I think it's a provocative conversation that is maybe just at its beginning.
I think you're right.
That's Jennifer Lynch, Senior Attorney for Electronic Frontier Foundation. We'll post a link to the organization at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.